Welcome to the She's Electric podcast. We're in the business of helping you to be your best self.
Click subscribe so we can help you have more money, more success, more love, more laughter, and more time for you. I'm Pia.
And I'm Kaya. Now let's get on with this episode. Welcome back to the She's Electric podcast. Pia and I are so excited to join you all today. Thank you for being here with us and for your time. We are going to do our best to just get really real and honest about some of the patterns that we have that can hold us back and can sabotage ourselves. And hope that by sharing our patterns with you, you might resonate with some of the things that we're saying, and it might enable you to see that you share some of these patterns. So what are we talking about? We are talking about saboteurs, those voices in our heads that tell us things that are lies. So everybody's master saboteur is the judge, and we judge ourselves, we judge other people, and we judge the situation. There's 8 other saboteurs, and I'm just going to run through those with you guys quickly. So they are hyperachiever, hypervigilant, controller, stickler, pleaser, restless, avoider, and victim. And for different people, they have different patterns of thought which are self-sabotaging. And one of those that, as I listed them off, might have resonated for you. You might recognize that you are somebody who has a pattern of avoidance, or, you know, the hypervigilant, always thinking that something is going to go wrong. That anxiety might be something that resonated for you. For both Pia and I, we have a pattern of self-sabotage, which is called hyperachiever. And this is, it's just complete loss of perspective of anything that we've achieved. And it's this self-flagellation about focusing on all of the things that are still to be done. It's the never-ending to-do list. It's can't enjoy the journey as we're going because there's just so far to go. Like the top of the mountain is so far, and when we get there, it's going to be to the moon. So it's this. It lies to us, this pattern, by telling us that this is what makes us get things done. It's this determination and this ambition is actually our edge, but it's not. It's being driven is, it feels good. It feels energizing. It feels exciting. This hyperachievement and this more feels empty, and it feels like you're a failure, and it feels unfulfilling. So the reason that we've decided to talk a little bit about these patterns of self-sabotage, which are from the mental fitness system that both Pia and I have talked about multiple times on the podcast and is the foundation of the work that I do with clients, is that this particular saboteur has been showing up for us in different ways. And it's also been showing up with other saboteurs. It's been playing with other saboteurs. And the party that's been happening, this sense of feeling like a failure, has arisen in different ways for both of us in the last couple of months. And we had an amazing conversation about it last week, which was, it was off the back of me having just feeling quite low energy and being quite hard on myself. And it was so helpful for me to talk through what was going on with Pia, and for her to like just hold the space for me to do that. And also to see that even though the things that we're talking to ourselves about are different, the pattern is similar. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how this has been showing up for you, Pia?
I found our conversation really interesting because, and it was actually, you had a very generous perspective on it, because Kaya and I are both going through something that is a huge energy drain. We're both coming at something from very, very different perspectives. Kaya is coping with the loss of her son, and I'm going through a new baby. And I have been so in awe of Kaya. We tend to judge our challenges in life. We rank them. Like, my thing is worse than yours. And Kaya never says that. She says, you have your own challenges. And both of us are tackling very difficult things, just from different perspectives. So what I have seen lately is a lot of stickler. So really obsessing over things not being perfect. And it's any time that there is a saboteur at play, It's because my energy is not good. It starts with energy. My energy is bad. And then my mindset becomes shit. And I start looping into negative thought patterns. And then because my energy is low, I don't recognize the thought pattern. I'm just going in a loop. And so it could be things like lately, for the last few weeks, I have been putting up posts on social media, doing it just after having a baby, which is madness, like not taking a break. So I took my 40-day break. And as soon as my 40 days was up, I started working with my social media manager to get posts out online. And what I found happening was that I would put a post out there and my stickler would be going crazy. I would be judging myself going, that was a terrible post, you shouldn't have done that. Or I wouldn't get many likes and I'd be like, why did you do that? That was just so stupid. Or I would be in the moment with my children and I would be thinking, oh, this would make a great post. So I was never present in the moment. And what I found was I was putting up all these posts. They were out there for 5 minutes. People would see them and that would be the end of it. But I would continue to obsess over them. They were sticking in my head. And I was going back to Kaya and I was saying, I'm doing this thing and I'm not generating any revenue from it. The whole social media experience feels joyless to me. And what Kaya said, very rightly, sometimes Kaya tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. What you're saying, Pia, what I'm hearing is a lot of stickler. Why does this need to be perfect? Why does it need to be like this? And when she said that, I was so in the emotion, I couldn't recognize it. And you held the mirror up to me and I was like, oh my God, I'm being a stickler. I'm trying to make this perfect. And the whole point of me doing this is not perfection. It's practice. I want to practice putting out posts and putting myself out there. The whole point of practice is that it's not great at the start. It's as you practice more, you get better. And I'm still starting to find my feet. So I think the biggest thing with any of these sabotaging behaviors is it's recognizing that you're in the emotion and then going, I'm doing it again. And then going, okay, so how do I want to act? How do I want to be in this moment? And then choosing a different path.
It's so powerful. And here's the twist of the episode, which is that when we started having these conversations, we thought that it was the pattern of one of our saboteurs. We thought that it was our usual pattern of more. And the twist is that in there was a new pattern of self-sabotage, one that maybe wasn't so familiar for us, which is why we couldn't see it. What Pia's talking about there, that stickler saboteur, that's all about perfection. And it's, if I can't be the best, I'm not going to bother. If it's not perfect, there's just no point. And it's absolutely draining. Of course, it's joyless. Perfectionism is joyless because it's unattainable.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting, as you were sharing that, is that when we spoke the other day, one of the reasons that we went into this conversation was because I was going through a kind of emotional part of grief and I was really low and I was sad and I was resisting it and it wasn't working. And when I was I think that in the conversation, you asked me at one point, I was talking about how I'm just distracting myself and I'm doing all this stuff to distract myself. And you asked me the question, you said, what are you distracting yourself from? What are you avoiding? And there was like a 30-second pause in which Pia didn't tell me what I was avoiding. She didn't tell me what I was distracting myself from. She just waited. And genuinely, I had to think really hard before saying, it's grief. And it's these things, they could be so obvious to the people around us, but they're not obvious to us when we're in it. And you talked about being in it and you're just so wrapped up in the thought. And I was wrapped up in this, I've got to do more, I've got to do more, I've got to do more, hyperachiever, but also just anything to not be still. I'd go out on a walk and I'd be like on my audiobook. I've got my headphones in when I'm cooking, just all of this distraction, basically. So then that light bulb enabled me to have a cry in the conversation. And also I cried that night when I was in bed just on my own. And it was so cathartic because I was like, I'm not going to look away from this. I'm just going to allow myself to feel this and to release. But the really ugly underbelly of this whole thing is that in there, in the midst of this grief, was stickler. There was this, I will be perfect at grieving.
Yes, you said something really interesting when we were talking. You said, and this is what I wanted to bring up. You said, I'm trying to win at grief.
Right. I'm going to be the best at grief. Mm-hmm. And that was to see it for what it was, just humbling, actually, and also soothing. It just enabled me to just hold myself and give myself a talking to of, you don't need to be the best at grieving.
Also, what does that even mean?
Exactly.
What does being the best at grieving mean?
This is a pattern of needing, if I can't be the best, I'm worthless.
Yeah.
And I think that's that pattern of perfectionism is something that I see it in more women, if I'm honest with you, in the people I work with. I think this perfectionism, this obsessing over things that are just trivial and just so irrelevant,
mm-hmm.
is where women drain a lot of energy. And it's certainly where I was draining a lot of energy, where I was preventing myself from, I think underneath it for me, there was a fear. And the fear of failure was that if I let any kind of pain and sadness in, then mm-hmm. I'm bringing that into my future. I'm allowing that emotion to be in me, and that's going to perpetuate into my future. I need to be focused on what I want, which is light and joy and all of this stuff. And so I was just pushing it down, and I was pushing it mm-hmm. down, I was pushing it down, and it was draining me. Which
completely.
It's natural, I think, in grief or in the journey of motherhood or of life. There are times when you are tired, and that's okay. You don't need to create a story about why you deserve to be tired. Like, you just are, you're just tired. And when you're tired, you need to rest.
Yeah. What you've also brought up is this, it's the denying of our emotions. Now, in your particular situation, you were denying your sadness, you were denying your grief. We all get to this point, and the word I use to describe it is where our cup fills and you need to let it bubble over. You just need to have that emotional release, because if you keep your cup at the top and it's just right there, just underneath in your throat, stuck in your throat, and you're holding everything tight, and if you don't allow the emotion to pass through your body, it's going to come out in other ways, and they will not be nice ways.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think that's where the stickler can hold us back, because we're saying to ourselves, I won't be angry. I won't be that, rather than just, oh, anger. Okay.
Yeah, let's have it.
Pass on through.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is, when we let it pass through, because I do have, my husband calls me Mount Pia, because I do have a bit of a pattern of exploding and then coming back to baseline. And obviously, I'm trying to find a better way of doing that. But what I find is when I don't honor the anger or don't honor the emotion, that it just, it becomes so much worse. I make it so much bigger than it needs to be. And I'm always amazed when I actually honor the emotion and I let myself feel it, it then moves, it moves through. One time, it was a lovely story. I was just really angry. It was after I had Enzo, and I have this like postnatal rage. I just had a lot of that. And Stephen said, come on, we're going to go outside. And he'd set up all these old tiles that we had when we built our house that we didn't need anymore. And he said, get a big rock, we're going to smash these tiles.
Yes, Stephen.
And we just smashed them all. It was, and I was like, ah, and I just screamed. And it was just this really great, productive way of me getting my anger out of my body.
God, I love that. That's such a creative solution, Stephen.
But it's the same as well, Kaya, with you. And it's whatever you need to do to feel that sadness. Is it looking at videos of Luca and crying, allowing yourself to just sit there and cry? There's nothing wrong with that. And it doesn't negate all of the amazing achievements that you've made to this day and how far you've come. But it's allowing you in that moment when your energy's down. And it's to honor the fact that it was 6 months last weekend. That is a huge thing. You said to me, it feels insignificant and significant at the same time. And it's about acknowledging that and saying, yeah, this is something that has affected me and I need to just be in this. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to be in it like this for the rest of the month or the rest of the year. I'm not going to descend into despair. But if I don't honor this, then I'm just avoiding the emotion that is obviously that I so need to recognize.
Yeah. What was so interesting is that we're recording this podcast on a Friday and we had this conversation on Monday, is that later on in that week, after I'd been like having all of these lions, and just because I think that for me, actually, it's not so much that I'm like not allowing myself to cry. It's that I'm pushing myself. I'm not acknowledging that I'm tired and that I'm like low energy.
Yeah.
That feels like really unfamiliar for me to just like lie in bed, for example,
yes,
do nothing. And I recorded a podcast the last time that I had quite a low emotional low, let's say a wave of grief. I recorded a podcast with this woman that I know. She's a friend and she's a mentor. And I've recorded the podcast when I was in this space, and it was about grief. But on Wednesday or something this week, I was on my computer. I'd been watching a training quite late, and the podcast popped into my inbox and said, "This is the final edit for you to approve." And I just thought, okay, I'll just listen to it now so that I've done it. And it was like timely. It was like a little sign from the universe to just remind me of how judgmental I am of myself when I am in this energy kind of dip. Because when I recorded that podcast, I literally was saying to myself, that was shit. You are shit. No one wants to hear that. That was a terrible episode. She's not even going to release it. It added no value. Your energy was so low. No one wants to hear this pity party. I was ridiculous tough on myself. And I just blocked it out and was just like, shit. It's okay that it was shit, but it was shit. Yeah.
It was shit. Yeah.
And when I listened to it, I was like, it wasn't shit. You didn't sound really low energy. You were being honest about your experience. And actually, you had a really beautiful conversation with this amazing person who, like, you love and really loves you too. And when I listened to it, I was able to hear like different things that she was saying to me. And one, she offered me the word avoidance 3 times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, God, I'm in this pattern. Like, I'm back in, I've done the same thing where I'm judging myself as a piece. So it's like the pattern is that I start judging myself and other people around me. So much judgment. I've been finding myself like so annoying. I'm like disgusted. I literally, like, alarm bells were ringing. So I was like, something's not right, because every time I look in the mirror, I'm like, you are disgusting. And then I would look there and be like, you're not disgusting. Try and say this. I was affirming like different things, but I couldn't feel it, because like really what I felt was just like disgust. And actually it's okay. That's all right. Not like rejection. Just, okay, disgust is there. Anger is there. Judgment is there. Allow them all to move. Instead, I'm like trying to fix everything. I'm like meditating. I'm like marching on these walks. I'm just trying
to
fight the fact that I'm so depleted.
Yes.
And so it was just really interesting that the universe sent me that conversation to listen to it again, that I could hear that the patterns were the same, and that judgment was really like bringing me down. Kick a girl when she's down.
It's because I'm interested to know, having just gone through that whole cycle again, what would you offer to women at home who are looking at themselves in the mirror and going, you're just a piece of shit, oh my God, you're such a failure, and back in that pattern of self-judgment and not actually acknowledging the feelings that they need to feel?
I think it's, the first question is, what emotion am I experiencing? And no emotion is good or bad. It's, disgust is not good or bad. It's just, it's an emotion. It is.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first thing that's super, super powerful, is just ask yourself, what is the emotion that I am experiencing? And just be like, oh, okay. Don't even get in a story about why I'm, oh, it's because of this, it's because of this, it's because of this. It's just simply, what's the emotion I'm experiencing? And if it's like exhaustion or disgust or self-loathing, it's okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even write it down.
And then you did something really interesting throughout the week, which was when Kaya explained to me how she shifted things, all I heard was empathy. She had so much more empathy for herself. So can you explain a little bit about what that looked like?
I think as soon as I could start seeing the emotion, so I'm like, oh, wow, like there is serious energy depletion here, because you are, all of your emotions are like quite low. And it's, what do you need? What is it that I need right now? And I think for me, it's like I needed to sleep. I needed to rest.
Yeah.
And so I just can't tell you how nourishing it was to just give myself permission to rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of the up at 5 a.m., the calendar booked out completely back to back.
Oh my God. And I think I had a conversation with you. And certainly I was talking to my own coach about it yesterday, and it's, I'm telling myself that all these things need to be done. Like, you could be telling yourself that you've got to mop your floor and you've got to do the washing and you've got to do all of this stuff. And it's, they're nice to have. So realistically, what you've got to do is feed yourself and feed your family.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and you, like, can be in total chaos. House, like, can be dirty.
Maybe a shower would be good, but it's not essential. What is essential is get yourself on the loo if you need to go, and like feed your family.
No, absolutely. It's one of the reasons why, this is a bit of a tangent, but I find a lot of people around me have been like, you've done 3.5 months of breastfeeding. Just you can give up now. Anytime, it's absolutely fine. And I'm like, the thing I like about my breastfeeding right now is it's a really visceral reminder from my body when I'm doing too much. So as soon as I start flogging myself and doing that stickler, hyperachiever, organizing too much at work, doing too much on my online coaching, so I'm using too much of my brain power, my milk supply dips down, and I can see it in Raffi. Raffi's starting to get hungry. Now, I have learned through my amazing doula, Kira, to combination feed, and I now know how to deal with this. But it's a really good reminder when I'm in the emotion and I'm not recognizing it, my milk supply lets me know, Pia, you are doing too much. You need to rest.
What I love about you saying this is so different from when you were like hijacked by the stickler.
Yes.
And you were like, the obsession was about whether or not it was good to give Raffi a bottle. And do you know what I mean? Like, the level of judgment to yourself, of it was spiraling out of control, right? You had the noose was around your neck and you were about to kick out the box from underneath your feet, right?
Absolutely. Like, I was like the worst mother in the world because I was considering a bottle.
Literally. Yeah. And this time, none of it is about what is right for Raffi, because it's all about what's right for you is going to be what's right for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And that you're attached to it, because actually it's the antidote for that kind of more.
Exactly.
To work. It's pulling you back to that kind of feminine energy that's where you want to be right now.
That you've hit it in one, and it's so many women are put under pressure, whether it's by themselves, whether it's by society or their peer group, to get back to things. And what I'm trying to remind myself is I don't need to get back to things. This is where I am. This is where I want to be right now. And if I can't remind myself, I at least I'm keeping this thing in my body that is reminding me. And that right now feels really good.
Beautiful. So we would love to end today's episode just by offering you at home a couple of questions. And the first one is, you know, what emotion are you experiencing frequently at the moment? Like, what's the negative emotion that you are experiencing without judgment? Just identify what that emotion is. And the second question is, what can you do for yourself today? Mm. What would feel great for you? What would feel yummy? And what is something that is just for you?
And I'll add to that is, if what's the emotion that you're experiencing right now? And what's the emotion that you would like to experience? And lean into that.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much for joining us today. See you next week. Thank you for giving us your time. Did you know that you could change someone's day today just by sharing this episode?
Our mission is to help women. We all want more money, more success, more love, more laughter, and more time for ourselves.
Women helping women is how we're going to get there.